Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, April 18th, 2016.
We're going to make available attack helicopters.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter, speaking to reporters today in Baghdad, says that the U.S. has agreed to deploy more than 200 more troops to Iraq.
We're going to adjust what you're doing, that is, how we use our existing forces that are here, and we're going to bring in additional ones.
This is the first time the U.S. is sending Apache helicopters into the fight against Daesh, the Islamic State group in Iraq, and it's the first major increase in U.S. forces in nearly a year. In other news, more than 350 are dead and more than 1,500 are injured from the 7.8 magnitude earthquake which struck Ecuador on Saturday. Rescuers are struggling to reach survivors trapped in the rubble. This was the strongest earthquake to hit Ecuador since 1979. It flattened buildings and buckled highways along its Pacific coast. Aid workers are flooding into Ecuador from all over the world. Meanwhile, in southern Japan, the search continues for people missing from two powerful earthquakes that killed at least 41 people. The quakes injured about 1,500 and triggered major landslides, with some 180,000 people seeking shelter. Some evacuees said that the food distribution was a meager two rice bowls for dinner.
Obama, escucha!
Estamos en la lucha!
In other news, advocates for immigration reform, community members from Make the Road New York boarded buses from New York City at 3 a.m. this morning. They went to Washington, D.C. with immigrants from all over the country to gather outside the Supreme Court as it heard arguments on President Barack Obama's executive action on immigration. The question the high court is examining is whether Obama exceeded his authority. The executive action would spare about 4 million people in the U.S. from deportation and give them work permits. Shortly before the executive action was to go into effect last year, a federal judge in Texas blocked it after 26 Republican-governed states filed suit. Today, during 90 minutes of arguments, conservative Justice Anthony Kennedy expressed concern that the administration exceeded its authority by having the executive branch set immigration policy rather than carry out laws passed by Congress. But conservative Chief Justice John Roberts indicated in his questioning that he might rule in favor of the program if they were to be changed slightly. Natalia Aristizabal is with Make the Road New York. She says the gathering of immigrants outside the Supreme Court was a family affair.
So it was quite beautiful. There were thousands of people. I saw delegations from California, from Arizona, from Florida. There were beautiful children from different organizations just saying, like, DACA, I need DAPA for my mom. And then there were chants everywhere. There was also a Santa Cecilia, which is a band that is really good, and they perform. And it was like a real spirit of, you know, being together and speaking up. And it's just always beautiful because it's all these communities who are being resilient and who are exercising their right to protest, their right to speak out. And, you know, we're here just hoping that the U.S. understands that we are also Americans, some folks just without papers.
And what were some of the signs and the banners that you saw around you?
The majority of everything that we saw was centered around family. So it was keep families together, on please stop, you know, that was about my mom, that was about my dad, that was about my brother. There were a lot of folks with signs and photos of family members. And, you know, this is just the reality around immigration. Like, there is families, for example, we came with different families in our buses where the father is absolutely undocumented, and so is the mother. But you have one brother who has DACA, and then another two little ones who were born in the U.S. And these families, they're always trying to figure out what's best for them and how they're going to be able to survive in this country.
And was there a reaction against the ICE raids that have been going on around the country?
You know, at this moment, we didn't talk about that because we just know that if folks who are not priority of deportation are able to just be here without a fear, then, you know, the rates are actually decreased. And this is actually more of what we need to happen. The rates is also something that our community members just need to learn and understand and defend their rights when it comes to that. And it's not true that they're only deporting undocumented criminals. It's actually, immigration law is more complicated in one way where a lot of people just won't have that fear is if they have access to DAPA.
Natalia Aristizabal is with Make the Road New York, and you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. A federal appeals court is upholding a potential $1 billion plan by the NFL to settle thousands of concussion lawsuits filed by former players. The decision comes almost a year after a revised deal was approved. Critics had argued that any deal should include future payments for the brain decay that's been found in dozens of former players after their deaths. The appellate judges found the settlement was for the greater good of all players. It would resolve thousands of lawsuits and cover more than 20,000 NFL retirees for the next 65 years. As the presidential races run into their final hours before the New York State primary, Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are speaking out on 9/11 issues. Sanders is backing legislation which would let Americans sue Saudi Arabia over the terrorist attacks. Sanders says Saudi Arabia promotes an extreme and very destructive version of Islam. 15 of the 19 hijackers in the September 2001 attacks, which destroyed the World Trade Center and killed thousands of us, were citizens of Saudi Arabia. Hillary Clinton is also backing the measure, and she says the White House should take a hard look at whether to declassify 28 pages of the 9/11 Commission report. Families of victims and some members of Congress say the government has suppressed information about the attack. In other campaign news, Donald Trump is continuing his assault on GOP presidential nomination rules. Speaking at the New York Veteran Police Association news conference in Staten Island over the weekend, he said while he thinks he will win the delegates needed to get the GOP nomination, the system is still rigged and corrupt.
You're basically buying these people. You're basically saying, delegate, listen, we're going to send you to Mar-a-Lago on a Boeing 757. You're going to use the spa. You're going to this, you're going to that. We want your vote. That's a corrupt system. That has nothing to do with democracy.
Trump needs 1,237 delegates to clinch the GOP nomination. He has 744, Ted Cruz 559, Kasich 144. 838 delegates are still available on the GOP side. And Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders would agree with Trump that the system is rigged. Sanders says he would do much better in New York if we had same-day registration and if we didn't have a closed primary, which is to say a primary where only Democrats or Republicans can vote. But there's another problem which is coming to light, and that is for voters who register as Democrats but whose party affiliations are switched without their okay. Shyla Nelson is with Election Justice USA. It's a national coalition formed out of concern for transparency in the electoral process after voting problems on March 22nd at the Arizona primary. This is where there were exceptionally long lines and people waited, and then they discovered they were kicked off the voting rolls. Election Justice USA filed a lawsuit in federal district court in Brooklyn today. They are asking for judicial oversight in New York as voting issues are coming to light. Nelson says there are two prominent threads.
Voters who were registered as Democrats, maybe even years ago, who have discovered suddenly in checking their voter registration that they have been removed from the Democratic roll, which prevents them from voting in the New York primary, if we know it's a closed primary, on Tuesday. And so their status in party affiliation has been changed to, quote, no longer affiliated with a party, and then parentheses, independent, end quote. That's one group. The others are new voters who enrolled and registered to vote by the deadline of March 25th, who elected Democratic Party as their party affiliation, received confirmation of their registration, but are also listed as not affiliated with any party, which also prohibits them from voting in the Democratic primary.
Do you have any idea of how many voters are affected by this change in their status?
We're getting reports by the hour pouring in to our website, which is www.electionjusticeusa.org. It's a little early to tell how widespread it is, but we are seeing reports from all over the state of New York. And as I say, we are seeing onslaughts of information. It definitely numbers in the thousands. It may number in the hundreds of thousands. It's a little too soon for us to tell, but as we continue the process of gathering our data, we will be providing that information to the public as promptly as we can.
Finally, who would this benefit? You know, for these voters to be taken off of their party affiliation, who does that benefit? Does that benefit the Republicans? Is that a computer glitch? Do you have any insight into why this is happening?
I think it's too soon for us to fully understand who might benefit. We certainly know who's not benefiting from this, and that is the voting public, and ultimately our democracy as a whole is suffering as a result of these phenomena, which appear in other states as well as New York.
New York State's Attorney General is also looking into voting irregularities. The office has set up a hotline, which goes live tomorrow, to ensure that voters can vote. A.J. Sani is an attorney in the Civil Rights Bureau of the New York State Attorney General's office.
Well, you know, we operate the hotline during almost every election since we've operated the hotline during almost every election since November 2012, and we deal with a host of issues that voters encounter at their polling places, and those range from disability access issues to language access issues, registration problems, broken machines, lack of ballots at the polling site. We can really help voters that raise these issues with our office by calling the hotline. We can help sort of resolve these issues by working with local county boards of elections and trying to deal with those issues during election day so that, you know, those barriers aren't impeding a voter from exercising their right to vote.
But what are some of the issues that you think that voters have to be worried about? Would there be a problem with the ballots? Would there be a problem with their registration? Like, what do you see as some of the problems they might encounter?
Well, in the past, I mean, we have received problems with, you know, registration. Oftentimes we've seen issues where a voter registered and doesn't show up on a polling book. And we can work with the local county board of elections to figure out whether or not the person registered in time or, you know, what records there are for that voter that are in the possession of the county board of elections. You know, we've run into issues before in the past about lack of ballots at a particular polling site. And again, we can work with the County Board of Elections to make sure that they are able to get a proper number of affidavit ballots and other paper ballots at the site to make sure that everybody has a chance to vote on election day within the while the polls are open. Again, similarly, we've worked with county boards of elections on issues related to broken voting machines, and really working to speed the process up of having a technical team come over and repair those issues. Again, so that voters are able to vote seamlessly during election day.
Have you encountered any problems where voters think that they're registered and they're not, or where their registration has been switched?
Well, we've encountered some issues, again, in the past. We've encountered issues where voters have said that they were registered, and we looked into the issue and found out that either the County Board of Elections misplaced their registration or didn't receive their registration in time. And we've worked to address those issues and have done so successfully in the past. In this election, you know, I think we're keeping an eye out for those sorts of issues, you know, if a voter runs into them, we encourage them to call the hotline, and we can see what we can do to help them exercise their right to vote.
And here's that hotline number at the New York State Attorney General's office for any problems listeners encounter during the primary with voting. It's 800-771-7755. Again, the Attorney General's hotline number is 1-800-771-7755. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.